everyone. Welcome back to Relax with Animal Facts. I am Steph Wolf, and today I am going to be learning with you about our furry, scaly, or possibly even slimy friends. And in today's case, it is definitely going to be not a furry friend, but rather a feathery friend, because we are covering the oh-so-wonderful shoebill stork. This episode is, of course, a very, very special listener episode dedicated to Carrie and to her daughter. Carrie wrote in asking for this amazing creature, and also sent along with this creature some videos of what they look like. And I have to be honest with you, if you have not seen this creature before, I don't think that I can do it any justice of trying to describe it in words. But rather, when you get an opportunity, I suggest that you Google or go anywhere where you can find a video or a picture of this animal, because it is truly a surreal looking bird. But anyways, I don't want to jump ahead. Carrie and your daughter, I don't have her name, but I would like to thank you for writing in and for your listenership. If you want to request an animal like the shoebill stork that you think is super cool and you want to learn about it, please send either a message to relaxwithanimalfacts@gmail.com, or you can also send an email to relaxwithanimalfacts@gmail.com. You can also send a carrier pigeon. That is entirely up to you, and I have a guarantee on this podcast that if I ever receive an animal request via carrier pigeon, that one is going to the top of the list. And for any of you wondering how it works in terms of choosing animals and things like that, it really is not a chronological thing where I choose the earliest submission and then it goes forward like that. I might choose a submission that I get the day before. So please send your animals in. And because sometimes I get lost in the pile, for those of you that have sent your suggestion some time ago, go ahead and send it to me again. I look forward to hearing from you anyways. And any of you that want to skip the introduction, in the description is the timestamp as to when I finish rambling and talking with you guys. So for those of you that want to get straight to the meat, straight to the facts, you can go ahead and look in the description and see where the episode starts. But make sure that you don't skip the sound of the animal that is coming up. You don't want to miss it. But let me go to a review that was written via Apple Podcasts. This review was written by Rotten Skeever Meat, and Rotten Skeever Meat wrote in via Apple Podcasts. I don't entirely know what the username means, but regardless, the person that is writing it, thank you for writing all the way from the United States of America. And this listener writes, "I love," with a lot of O's, "I love this podcast. This podcast has truly changed my night routine. I have severe anxiety at night, and with the calming voice and the fun facts about my favorite animals, it all helps me and my brain relax. I am so lucky to have discovered this and tell everyone about it any chance I get. I hope to see an episode with the Tanuki soon. Keep up the good work, and we love you. thank you for writing that wonderful review. And the Tanuki is a very cool animal that will have to be covered soon in the future. And some very kind words in this review. And I hope that all of you understand that this podcast is nothing without you listening at home. If it was not for all of you listening at home, I would just be a weirdo sitting alone and reading animal facts to myself. And so what makes this show is not me or even the facts to some degree, but rather it is those of you listening that keep writing in with such wonderful reviews and other sorts of things like that that keep the show going. And for those of you that have found the show useful for you in learning or sleeping or really anything, leaving a review is one of the biggest things that you can do for this show. Your listenership already means the world. Leaving a review is a kind of superfluous thing that you can do if you feel moved to do so. But otherwise, you keeping me good company as we go through facts of some amazing animals is all I can ever ask for. And so let me just say where I got these facts from before we get into the portion of the show we are waiting for. The first one is justbirding.com, and the second one is shoebillbird.org. For those of you that want to learn more about this seriously cool bird, make sure to go to those resources. Without them, I would not have been able to make this episode. And now, if you can pay attention to perhaps where you're feeling any of the tension that you are carrying, it could be in your shoulders, it could be sort of in the head, in the neck, in the legs, who knows? Everybody is different. You might actually not be tensing at all, but I think that would be the more uncommon experience. And so you can do your best to try to relax all of those parts of your body that are carrying a good deal of stress as we go into this immersive experience together into the swamps and marshes of Central Africa, where the shoebill stork resides. I am pretty sure that the vast majority of you who have not heard the shoebill stork before must be wondering, what in the world was that? While the shoebill stork normally stays fairly quiet, it has a few different sounds that it makes. And that sound of that hollow sort of tapping or clicking is the sound of its bill opening and closing very quickly. And some online, I read, have compared it to that of a machine gun. And so right off of the bat, we have a bird that is truly unique in its communication. And let me start off with the Latin name, or the scientific name, of this bird, because it can tell us something. The scientific name of the shoebill stork is Balaeniceps rex. And that suffix you see there, that is rex. You might have heard that in the T-Rex, the Tyrannosaurus rex. If you don't know what that little suffix means, it means king. And it is normally given to fairly large animals that dominate in terms of size over their similar species. They exist in the swamps and marshes of Central Africa, and their strange physiology helps them with things like hunting, nesting, mating, and defending their territory. And we will be going more into that strange physiology and anatomy in just a second. But I just want to go off on the hunting portion. This bird can eat big fish like lungfish, eels, and catfish, but also things like Nile monitor lizards, snakes, and wait for it, crocodiles. Not full-grown crocodiles, mind you, but baby crocodiles. We have a bird that eats crocodiles and monitor lizards and big snakes. This bird is seriously cool. This animal is going to live to be about 35 years in the wild. While in captivity, it is going to live a little bit longer, as is often seen, at about 50 years of age. So that includes places like zoos and whatnot. And in the case of the shoebill stork, there is not only a difference in life expectancy between those that are in the wild and those that are in captivity, but also their demeanor or mannerisms are a little bit different. Shoebill storks are notoriously aggressive in the wild, and so people have tended to sensationalize them as the stork of your nightmares and the most terrifying bird in the world. But this is because they mostly live in solitary when they are in the wild, and they are very territorial birds. And that call that you heard at the top of the show is one of those calls that is meant to sort of show off this territorial aspect of them. So they will eat alone, live alone, and even when they mate and are paired together, they will still hunt and eat away from one another. And it is pretty rare to be able to see two shoebill storks next to each other. So if any of you out there are wandering in the swamps and marshes of Africa, and you happen to see two shoebill storks, count yourself very fortunate in that moment. But in the stark contrast to this very territorial and aggressive demeanor or behavior that is seen in the wild, in captivity, shoebill storks are going to be gentle and very docile creatures. They are always popular additions to animal parks and zoos because of their very unique and amazing appearance. And they will tolerate all sorts of gawking from tourists that happen to come by and see them. And so I am going to try my best to describe them with the help of this article, along with a few of my own thoughts of what they look like. If you have not yet searched them up out of sheer curiosity, I applaud you. And when you do search them up, see if maybe the picture I am painting of them is really accurate to what you thought they would look like. The first thing is that they are gigantic birds. They will tower over their feathered friends, and along with many of the ones that we have learned about on the show, they will have long, skinny legs and spindly feet. Their wings are very large as well, folding back over their bodies and providing a fluffy layer of coverage. In one of the videos that was sent to me by Carrie, who this episode is dedicated to, it shows the shoebill stork kind of airing out its wings and shaking them around And when looking at this bird, it is almost as if it is an animatronic sort of bird. They have a very cool way of moving around. It is almost as if it is calculated to the highest degree when they move around and shake their head. It seems as though they are very intentional and makes it look almost as if they are programmed to move in that way. Their coloring is a blue-white that tends to stand out in their naturally muddy habitats. They tend to be a lighter blue at the top of their heads and a darker, almost navy blue at the tips of their feathers. Their beaks or their bills, however, are the most notable feature of the shoebill stork. This big bill is going to protrude at a massive 7 to 9 inches, which is about 18 centimeters to 23 centimeters, and it looks like something that would be straight out of Jurassic Park. And not only are their bills made of hard, strong keratin, but they also end with a very sharp nail on the upper mandible that is going to help this bird rip right through its prey. And this bill will usually be a yellow color mottled with little white and gray parts as well. The average shoebill is going to measure between 3.5 to 4.5 feet tall. The tallest on record was reported 5 feet. Now, if I was walking around and saw this creature standing like a statue, as it often does, and we'll describe in a second why they do this, but if I were to see such a thing, I would probably run as fast as I could, and the person that I would tell would likely not even believe what I was describing. Perhaps it was my imagination, I imagine someone would tell me. But the male typically will be around 12 pounds, while the females are slightly smaller at 11 pounds. And the overall weight range for shoebill storks is about 8.8 to about 15.5 pounds. So while they are very large birds, they are not going to weigh as much, and perhaps you have already figured out why such a large bird can weigh so little. For those of you that have already listened to the Flamingo podcast, you might know the answer. Well, of course, as this is a bird, they will have to weigh pretty little in comparison to what they look like, at least, to be able to stay afloat and take off to begin with. Birds are going to have hollow bones to allow them to weigh a lot less than if they had bones like you and me. But that is why they fly well, and no matter how fast we flap our arms, we're not going to take off anywhere. And even if we had such big wings as the stork has, we would not take off either. And speaking of wings, their wingspan is going to be 7.7 to 8.6 feet. The shoebill stork can stretch farther than almost everyone else that is in their genus, and they outclass both herons and hammercops. Only pelicans have larger wings. And so if this was to fly above you, you can see how this bird would just block out the sun no problem with their huge wingspans. And I have to say that this bird, in terms of all of the birds that I have seen in my life thus far, I think this bird is one that provokes the most awe to me when I see it. It is as if something at the museum has come alive and I'm watching it on the internet. Maybe one day I will be able to see it in person. But regardless, how cool is it that we have such a bird in our midst that we can appreciate and enjoy? And one thing that seems to be important is that the shoebill stork does not seem to be a stork at all. They originally were classified under a label that contained species like the black stork and the marabou stork, and that's why the shoebill stork is still the name that most people use to describe them. However, after genetic testing, some researchers and scientists say that it was determined that they are closely related to pelicans and herons, but not so much to the stork. However, I quite like the name shoebill stork, so that is what I am going to continue to call them. While shoebills have such a huge wingspan, they are not actually the greatest flyers, although they can fly. They can take to the air whenever they need to escape a bad situation or to find a new feeding ground. They just like to keep their flights low and pretty quick. They do not like altitudes of more than 1,000 feet, and they flap their wings at a rate of 150 flaps per minute, which is slower than almost every other bird in existence. Whenever they can, they prefer to glide on thermals rather than flap against air currents. So they are going to really enjoy those gusts of wind that lift them up rather than having to really tough through those energy-consuming flaps that they need to keep such a body above the ground. One thing about the shoebill is that they do not have sweat glands to keep them cool in the African sun, as me and you might have, but instead, they engage in something to cool down known as gular fluttering. This involves the vibrating of the mouth and throat muscles to encourage heat dissipation, and it is sort of like you might see your dog panting during that summer day. The shoebill is instead going to do this to do a similar kind of cooling down. And going back just a little bit, you might have remembered that I referred to the shoebill as standing very still like a statue, and they have even been nicknamed as such thanks to their lack of movement. But they aren't just lazy birds, but instead, this shoebill can remain perfectly motionless for hours at a time, which will allow their senses to be fully alert and engaged and allow them to hunt more effectively. So it is not just that they are lazy birds, but rather it is a feeding strategy that is pretty effective. They also do not have too many natural predators, and I would understand why a lot of animals would not like to get into the ring with a shoebill stork, but they are still particularly vulnerable at the period of time in which they are still in their eggs. Many creatures will just snatch up these protein-rich eggs from bird nests, and hatchlings are occasionally taken as well, but only when their parents are not around. I don't know about you, but looking at that knife-like beak, I would not be reaching for their eggs anytime soon. And if you have already satisfied your curiosity and searched up what the shoebill looks like and videos of them sort of walking around, you may have seen that they like to shake their heads. And they have this sort of habit of shaking their heads back and forth. And what they are doing is something that is quite important in the wild. When they are in the water, there are sticky weeds that can cling to the prey that they're trying to consume, and they will shake their heads to get rid of it. And while it may be a meaningless habit on dry land, it seems to be something that is so ingrained in their nature that it may look like a nervous tick to anyone who doesn't know why they do it. They are not just shaking their heads at the family with the selfie stick trying to get a selfie with them, but rather it seems to be a habit that is very useful to them, but in the context of the wild. And for the last fact of the episode, and boy do I wish this was not the last fact, this is one cool animal, but I am going to say where the shoebill stork gets its name, although you might have been able to figure that one out. The shoebill stork is named after its beak. Between their size, shape, and color, these enormous mandibles can look a lot like the latest pair of clogs. And so, hence, the bill looks like a shoe, and you get the shoebill stork. These are names that I much prefer, and I think ought to be introduced also into the very challenging Latin or scientific names to make it easier on guys like me that just cannot for the life of me pronounce them. If the Latin name was something like Shubilicus storicus, then perhaps I would have an easier time. But thankfully for the scientific community, I have absolutely no say in what they name their creatures. So thank you for joining me on today's amazing episode. I am not sure if this is the longest episode of the podcast so far, but if it is, then the shoebill stork deserves it. Thank you, Carrie, and your daughter, for the wonderful suggestion for this episode. If you want to learn about a particular animal, make sure to send your request to relaxwithanimalfacts on Instagram, or send an email to relaxwithanimalfacts@gmail.com. I always look forward to hearing from all of you listeners out there, and I look forward to hearing from you and learning about what animal you would like to hear on a future episode. And so thanks again for joining me on this adventure in the swamps and marshes of Africa, and I hope that you will join me on the next podcast episode with the next animal. Take care.